John Grant grew up in Seattle, loved his hometown.
We have mountains, we have beautiful bodies of water.
But John also knew the city had flaws.
When I was growing up, walking the streets of Seattle, it also had this enormous homeless population.
Seattle has been struggling with housing issues, and this became John's key issue. He did community outreach with the homeless. He worked for the tenants union.
In 2015, John decided to take his first stab at local politics. He decided to run for city council. So he sat down and figured out how to fundraise.
You make a list of everybody you know that could potentially donate the maximum amount, which back then was $700. And you go through that list pretty quick.
It was dawning on John that working with the homeless was not the kind of job that connected him with a lot of rich donors. He managed to get mostly small donations.
$10, $15, $25, $50. Small grassroots donations.
And John was facing the classic well-funded incumbent who was pulling in donations from tech giants like Amazon.
From insurance and pharmaceutical companies.
From real estate developers.
In the end, John Grant managed to scrape together $75,000 for his campaign. His opponent raised five times that amount.
If we just had the resources to get our message out to more voters, it's pretty clear to me, at least, that we would have won that race.
Yeah, John did not win the race.
And of course this is what happened. It is one of the most depressing things about American politics. The people John wanted to represent, they were people who didn't have money to donate.
But business interests, they can donate all day long. And unfortunately, that is just the way the system works.
That is, until Seattle decided to break the system.
Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Kenny Malone. And today I am joined by Sarah Cliff, host of Vox's The Impact podcast and herself a Seattleite.
Seattleite. That's what we call ourselves.
We are joining forces with The Impact because they just launched a new season and are here to tell the story of what happened when Seattleites tried to solve one of the most fundamental problems in American politics. The less money you have, the less influence you have.
And the way Seattle decided to deal with this wasn't to take big money out of politics. It was to flood their elections with small money.
Today on the show, the Seattle Experiment. It's a story that tests everything you thought you knew about the way our political system should work.
And also, there will be talking dogs.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from PolicyGenius.com, the easy way to compare and buy insurance online. With PolicyGenius, you can compare quotes from top-rated carriers, get unbiased advice from licensed experts, and apply online in minutes. Whether you're shopping for life, disability, home, auto, or renter's insurance, if you care about it, they can cover it. Compare and save on insurance today at PolicyGenius.com.
Olympic gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar abused hundreds of women and girls for more than 20 years before he was caught. Hear how a team of women brought down a serial sexual predator. Believed, a new podcast from Michigan Radio and NPR.
So, of course, if you are going to introduce a crazy new program, the only way to teach people about it is with a super earnest public service announcement.
The City of Seattle is giving eligible Seattle residents $100 in democracy vouchers they can use to support the participating candidates.
Oh my God, why is it always like terrible acoustic music? I don't understand.
Seattle has so many good bands, Nirvana, Pearl Jam.
They should have done grunge music.
Pearl Jam could have made a PSA.
Yeah. Anyway, here is what that PSA is explaining. In 2015, Seattle residents agreed to raise property taxes so that the city could then send money to every single Seattleite, 500,000 Seattleites.
Right. Everyone would get four $25 vouchers that they could donate to candidates, and Seattle called these things democracy vouchers.
So you're the man the voucher program fell on.
Yes.
Wayne Barnett is the executive director of the Seattle Ethics and Elections Commission. He was told, it is your job to somehow make this democracy voucher program work.
I was excited on one level because it is very an innovative program, but at the same time, it was kind of terrifying because it is an innovative program.
One of the first things Wayne had to do was just, like, think through what are the goals of this program.
And there were a lot. Increasing small donations, changing who donates, giving candidates a financial incentive to actually go out and meet voters.
So Wayne and his team get designing the vouchers, the envelopes they're going to come in, and pretty quickly they realize that even teeny decisions are complicated.
There's been a big debate here about whether or not it made sense to send the postage paid envelope.
Paid postage envelopes seems totally trivial. But if you're trying to get more people to donate money,
why would you make it harder for people to use their vouchers than it has to be?
So, great. It definitely makes sense to have return postage.
The counter to that is we should be encouraging contact between candidates and the public.
Right. Another one of the program's goals was to get candidates to actually go out and talk to voters, to tell them about issues and then ask for donations.
That might not happen if people can just mail their donations in.
Eventually, they decided, okay, fine, better to include the stamp. But the point is, Wayne and his team were redesigning Seattle's entire campaign finance system, and that is not easy.
All right. So This is the envelope that included the vouchers.
And it just Wayne showed me the final product.
It's an envelope with vouchers in it, and it says $100.
Seattle voters were going to receive four blue and white pieces of paper. They look kind of like checks.
And they essentially work like checks. You write the name of the candidate you want to donate to, and then you sign your democracy voucher over to that candidate.
The first week of 2017, Wayne Barnett's team put these vouchers in the mail.
And this was unprecedented. No one in the country had tried anything like this before. Seattle was flooding its mailboxes with millions of dollars worth of fake money that could magically turn into real money for candidates.
Here we go. City Council position 8. And we have the two candidates. And we will start alphabetically. John Grant, go ahead.
All right. The alphabetical advantage.
Remember John Grant, that advocate for the homeless, who ran for the city council and lost to the well-funded opponent?
Well, after Seattle launched this radical funding experiment, John Grant decided to get back in the game. This is him from a candidate forum he spoke at.
I've put forward a proposal requiring 25% of all new development to be affordable to working class people. I have also put forward a
This time around, John wasn't running against a well-funded incumbent. He had a different kind of opponent.
Thank you, John. Dennis.
So one of the things that I'm calling for is real solutions.
This is Teresa Mosqueda, a first-time candidate.
I'm calling for us to take every parcel of developable, available land and turn it into affordable housing now.
The thing about visionary civic programs to empower underdogs is, sure, they help out underdogs like John Grant, but they also bring out brand new underdogs like Teresa Mosqueda.
I'm a woman, I'm a person of color, I'm a renter, I still pay student loans, I'm 37. That someone like me wasn't going to be expected to self-finance a campaign really was a green light to say go.
Arguably, the democracy vouchers were already working. The two candidates vying for this city council seat both would have had trouble raising money in the past.
But now, John Grant and Teresa Mosqueda just needed to get out there to knock on doors and convince voters to hand over their vouchers.
Do you remember the first door you knocked on and asked for the voucher?
I do.
Oh, really?
I do remember that door.
John Grant says there was a newspaper reporter tagging along, watching this historic moment, one of the first times anyone ever has asked for a democracy voucher.
John was in this rapidly gentrifying neighborhood.
And we knock on the door, and this guy, he had a mustache. I don't know why I remember that, but I do. And this gentleman with a mustache looks at me, and I give him my pitch about our housing crisis. And
eventually, John turns the conversation to the democracy vouchers.
And I asked for, you know, $100 in democracy vouchers. And he kind of looked at me, and he also looked at the reporter and was like, sure. And he gave me one. He gave me one $25 voucher and closed his door. I knocked the rest of the block, and that was the only voucher that I got that day. And so the reporter was like, is that it? And I'm like, that's it.
So. To be fair, John's luck got better over the next few weeks.
Meanwhile, Teresa Mosqueda is also out there knocking on doors. She remembers voters being genuinely surprised that a real candidate would show up in person.
They were like, it's really you on this flyer. You're here at my door. And I was like, yes, I'm out here introducing myself. And they would say, hold on, I'll be right back. They'd find the democracy vouchers in a pile on their table of mail, and they'd come back and they'd fill it out there right at the door.
And when door knocking went like this, the program was great. But as these candidates were canvassing, it started to become clear. The voucher program had a pretty big problem.
Imagine, if you will, knocking on the apartment door of this couple, Ross and Alice.
Hi.
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 Ross and Alice are young, they're politically engaged. They are the exact kind of voters that John Grant or Teresa Mosqueda would love to win over.
And yet, if John or Teresa had shown up to their house and asked about the vouchers...
I don't want to say you definitely threw them away.
I threw them out, yeah. I know, I definitely threw them out. I remember getting it in the mail because it looked kind of
like
a ballot.
Yeah, it seemed a lot of Seattleites were like Alice. They were getting these vouchers, mistaking them for junk mail, and then throwing them away.
Well, Kenny, it was Seattle. They were recycling them.
Sure, okay, yeah.
But remember, the program had never been attempted before. For a lot of people, the idea of getting $100 in the mail from their government to reform campaign finance was just too good to be true.
But it wasn't just regular old voters getting confused.
Frankly, I thought it was news about recycling, so I recycled it.
That's right. Even city council candidate Teresa Mosqueda recycled her vouchers.
And only later did I think to myself, well, I think that might be the vouchers, and I went back and pulled it out.
And I think here it would help to talk about the design of the envelope that these things came in. I have a copy in the studio with us right now.
It's like as long as a normal envelope, little taller, a little bit fatter. To be honest, it kind of looks like a thing you'd get from Publishers Clearinghouse.
There is an official Seattle City logo here. And then also it says, your democracy vouchers are here! Exclamation point.
We looked at it with Wayne Barnett, the guy in charge of designing the envelope, the program, the whole thing.
It has an opening envelope and then a circle with the number $100 in it.
Right.
I'm going to be honest, Wayne. I think I would throw this away.
Well, you did, and a lot of other people did.
That might be an understatement. Wayne estimates that about 75% of Seattleites either threw away or misplaced their democracy vouchers.
You could have written on this, don't throw this away.
Right.
Those are usually a scam.
At first, I didn't know they were a scam, so it worked like once. But you could have tried something like that. Did anybody float that?
I don't think so.
Just brainstorming.
Okay. Spitballing.
The trash problem was a huge problem, but it was not all Wayne's fault. The way this program was written up required that these vouchers go out in January of 2017. That was 10 months before the actual election.
But as reports started to come in that maybe this is a bigger problem than you thought, Wayne and his office said, okay, we're going to run a campaign to remind people there is a way to replace lost vouchers.
They printed up a bunch of posters that looked like somebody had lost a dog, except instead of a dog, there was a picture of democracy vouchers.
And then a pro-democracy voucher group also made some ads about lost vouchers.
That's my human. She's looking for democracy vouchers.
This ad was also dog-themed. It featured a talking French bulldog in a red vest that stands around explaining how to replace your lost democracy vouchers, while the dog's owner digs through the couch cushions for her lost vouchers.
But she's not going to find them because I ate them. But it's not a big deal. All she has to do is call 206-727.
So good. It's so good. What is up with all the dog ads in Seattle, though? I don't understand.
You know, Kenny, we know a good dog when we see one.
Yeah, fair enough. It took a lot of work, but Seattle eventually dealt with the lost voucher problem. The advertisements, of course, but they also gave John and Teresa a way to show up at people's doors and help them replace lost vouchers on the spot.
And that meant John and Teresa were collecting serious money. Remember, the first time John ran, before democracy vouchers, he only raised about $75,000.
That entire year, I didn't have a staff. It was just me.
But in 2017, John raised $300,000 in democracy vouchers.
I had a campaign manager, I had a field director, I had field organizers, and, you know, we knocked on 50,000 doors, and that's a lot of one-on-one conversations with real voters.
And John's opponent, Teresa Mosqueda, remember, she was a first-time candidate. She was still paying off her student loans. She was brand new to this stuff. And yet she also managed to raise $300,000 in democracy vouchers.
So if you actually, I can show you this chart that shows how much money came in. And
she showed me this chart so I could see how little of her own money she had to put into the campaign.
It's $361. So that is because I spent $250 of my own. I wrote a check to myself. I used 100 of my democracy vouchers. And then there was an $11 Facebook ad that I put out. So that's worth $361 is what I paid. And
after 10 months of democracy voucher problems and solutions, election day finally came and the campaigns were over.
Teresa Mosqueda, she remembers being at her watch party, looking up at the TV.
And it showed us at that night at 62% of the vote. And people were just jumping with joy, screaming, hugging each other. And then we had a mariachi band. It was amazing.
Was that your choice?
Oh, hell yeah.
Teresa ended up beating John Grant. But honestly, either of these candidates was a win for democracy vouchers.
Neither was an establishment politician. Neither could rely on a long list of rich donors. To fund their campaigns, they actually knocked on doors and met voters.
Changing who runs for office, getting candidates out into the community, these were goals of the program, but arguably the most important metric was, did people actually use these vouchers? Were there more people donating to campaigns?
What is different about the number of people donating in Seattle now that you guys have democracy vouchers?
Well, the bottom line is it dramatically increased the number of campaign contributors.
Again, Wayne Barnett, the guy in charge of running the program.
It tripled. We had roughly 18,000 people who contributed.
And sure, that's a lot of people. But as Sarah pointed out to Wayne, Seattle has 500,000 residents.
So I know it is true, Wayne, that it increased the number of contributors, but it's also true that 97% of people didn't use their democracy vouchers.
You know, it is. It's a glass half full, glass half empty thing. It's classic. On the one hand, we had more contributors than ever. On the other hand, we still did not have participation at the levels that the framers of the program had hoped. But I am a glass half full kind of guy.
But I want to drink the empty half of this glass, though, because like everyone got free money to give away and basically nobody did it. Like the vast majority didn't. That makes me feel worse about democracy.
Like I said, we increased our number of contributors dramatically. To me, that is a success. And I will readily admit if it is in the third or fourth or fifth cycle of the program, if we are not seeing more participation than that, I think that might actually cut the other way.
All that being said, Wayne will admit there is a pretty reasonable critique of the program.
It is not a cheap program to run. There are a lot of costs associated with printing, mailing, and processing these vouchers, which hopefully we can reduce once we get an electronic system in place. But I would tell you that it is not a cheap program to run.
In 2017, Seattleites gave candidates about $1 million in democracy vouchers. The administration of the whole program was also about $1 million. That means half of the democracy voucher money went to administrative costs.
And those are taxpayer dollars that could fund other things like schools or roads or affordable housing. As Wayne said, they are moving to an electronic system for the next election cycle. So that might cut down on some printing and mailing costs. But first, they have to build the electronic system, and that costs even more money.
So Wayne admits there are definitely trade-offs.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, I think the question is your municipality, are they willing to pay to get more people involved in the political process? Seattle made the decision that we're willing to pay for that good. But I think that's every municipality.
Don't expect like a free ride.
Right, program. Exactly.
Seattle appears to have weighed the pros and cons for itself and has decided democracy vouchers are worth it. There will be some tweaks, but the city is going to continue with the program.
And one final quick story about why Seattle might have decided this was a success. It is true that not as many people use the vouchers as the city hoped. But a lot of the people who did use the vouchers, they're the kind of people who don't have a lot of power in American politics. They were able to exercise their voice in a totally new way. There was this one woman I met in Seattle who really drove this point home for me. Her name is Gina Owens.
And I'm 60 years young.
Gina had been politically active for years. She worked on housing and healthcare issues. But before 2017, Gina had never donated to a campaign. She's on disability. She takes care of her three grandkids.
So right now my finances are under $2,000 a month. Then raising three kids, no, there was no way I was going to find that $100 anywhere.
If you did, I'm guessing it was not going to.
It would not go to a candidate.
When Gina got her democracy vouchers, she took them to a candidate forum. She wanted to give them to John Grant.
Actually, I kind of made a big deal out of it.
She waited until the forum was over.
Walked up to the podium where they were all sitting and gave them my two vouchers.
So how did it make you feel to have the opportunity to do that for the first time?
Like Bill Gates.
Got a policy experiment you think we should know about? You can hit us up at planetmoney@npr.org. We are also on Twitter and Instagram @planetmoney. And if you want to hear about other wild policy experiments that other cities are using to solve big challenges, you should absolutely check out the new season of Sarah Cliff's podcast, The Impact.
Thanks, Kenny. My colleagues and I at Vox have spent the past year crisscrossing the country, looking at places like Seattle, South Carolina, Vermont, that have tried doing something radically different. And we see what happens next. You can find The Impact wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our new season starts today.
Alex Goldmark is our supervising producer. Brian Erstad is our editor. This episode was produced by Planet Money's Alexi Horowitz-Ghazi and Vox's Bird Pinkerton and Jillian Weinberger. We also had editing help from Amy Droves-Dofska.
I'm Sarah Cliff.
And I'm Kenny Malone. Thanks for listening.
Support for this podcast comes from Squarespace. Keep dreaming, but make it a reality with a website from Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com/planetmoney for a free trial. Then use offer code PLANETMONEY to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Jobs Friday. Find out how the labor market changed this past month at the Indicator podcast from Planet Money on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, one of the interesting things about the actual design of these democracy vouchers is that there's a little bit of language that is like a subtle reminder that actually selling these vouchers is a big no-no. Wayne Barnett told us that it was expressly illegal, and in fact that he and his team thought a lot about just how much they should remind people of that fact.
I think the balance we were trying to strike was between that desire to deter fraud and also the competing desire to have people use their vouchers without fear.
Right, like there's a version where you send someone this wonderful democracy voucher, but it's just in giant print. It's like, don't mess this up, you're going to jail. Right. And people are like, nope.
Exactly.